was right. Welcome to Adult Siblings Versus, a podcast where a grown-ass brother and sister put aside their childhood rivalry in order to review nostalgic pieces of pop culture. I'm your co-host, Jason S. Leverett.
And I'm your other co-host, Ariel Leverett.
Well, Ariel, I've decided to hijack the podcast this week.
Yeah, this is exciting. I'm disappointed because usually when we have a Jason hijacks the podcast ep, I usually am drinking. But I have a race tomorrow, and so I'm not drinking today. So I'm drinking a non-alcoholic beer while I listen to you rant, which is not the best, but I'll get through.
I'm not responsible for your soberness, so I'm not going to feel bad at all.
Yeah, so self-inflicted sobriety. Ugh.
Today I want to talk about the X-Men. When we did our previous X-Men shows, we talked about X-Men the animated series for the first season, and then X-Men Pride of the X-Men pilot, but there was so much, especially the animated series, there's so much to talk about that really wasn't time to talk about much of the history of the X-Men. And even today I don't want to go into the history of the X-Men, because I gotta tell you, it is one of the most convoluted ongoing stories in the history of fiction. Even to the absurd degree that superhero comic books tend to be. Like, I gotta tell you right now, all the mutants live on an island. They're all immortal. Moira Taggart, it turns out to actually be a reincarnation, and she's actually the most powerful mutant in history.
What?
It's all very complex, and I don't want to have to explain how we get to point A to point Z over there. So I would like to just focus today on talking about the media side of things. I want to talk about the various adaptations that the X-Men have gotten over the years, with a caveat that I don't really want to talk about the video games, because there's actually been just too many and I don't want us to be here all day. I want to focus primarily on their television and their movies. There's actually been a surprising amount, to the point that I actually forgot to add one thing, and I don't know if I want to put it on there because it's not technically X-Men. They just kind of co-opt the X-Men name. Something called Mutant X, I believe. I think we're good with that. But that's what I'm looking to do today. So next week, we're going to be getting back on track. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you guys right now, off the bat. Next week, the plan is to, or whenever, next week, next time, the plan is to do the Little Rascals. The Little Rascals film adaptation from the 90s.
Yeah!
You know, this isn't your cup of tea, just, you know, hang out for that one. However, if you want to complain about me hijacking the podcast to talk about the X-Men, well, you can go fuck yourself. But if you would like to, you know, maybe talk about how much you also like the X-Men, and maybe talk about all the stuff you'd like to see, you can always email us at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com. You can also send us a tweet Adult Versus on Twitter, and then we are also on Facebook. You can contact us there
we're taking requests. Like, we have proven to indulge one listener, so, you know, think about it. You might want to drop us a line, see what if we could do something that you have nostalgia for.
Yeah, as long as we, you know, want to do it and aren't gonna be like jerks about it, which I cannot guarantee.
Oh, that's true. We might be jerks about it. But also, we might have never seen it, so we might not do it. But it never hurts to ask.
So, briefly, the X-Men originally is a superhero comic that was created back in 1963 by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. I think I've talked about this before, but the short version is they were trying to recreate their success with the Fantastic Four, and maybe add a little bit of the DNA from Spider-Man, have basically the formula of Fantastic Four, but they're all teenagers like Spider-Man. And wasn't very popular to begin with. It took some years before it started catching on, and back then there was a very long delay before you could tell how well your comic book was doing. So Marvel assumed it was doing worse than it was, so they canceled it, and then afterwards they found out that actually it was doing a lot better than they thought. But they'd already canceled it, and they put it on ice for a few years, brought it back in the mid-70s, and it ended up being on a skyrocket that basically dominated the comic book charts from like during the 80s and the 90s, became the biggest franchise in the entire comic book sphere, led to some live action films that I will mention. And then somewhere along the line, Avengers ended up creeping up behind it, kind of taking its place, and then X-Men kind of dropped down low, had lost its crown. And to this day, the X-Men are not nearly the powerhouse that they were in decades past. And as I mentioned before, have gotten quite complicated, and I don't understand. even so, as popular as they've been, they have appeared in a lot of media, so that's what I want to kind of discuss today. Now, first things first, I want to break my own rule by talking about a video game. Just because I want to give a shout out to probably the most influential X-Men video game ever created, and that is the X-Men arcade game.
Whee!
And the main reason I want to mention that is that my dream, my long-term dream, has been to find an X-Men arcade game with the double screen, go there with five of my friends, and then play the whole damn thing start to end. I almost accomplished this at my birthday a couple years ago, but the arcade, I think this is Replay. They used to have the X-Men arcade machine. They did not have it when we were there, and I had to set up for the Simpsons arcade game.
Yeah, you know. Oh, you know what? There is a relatively new barcade, like right by my apartment, like right off of the train stop. I haven't really looked. I haven't gone there to play a game or anything yet. I haven't, but I'll check to see if they have the X-Men game for future reference.
Yeah.
They also, this bar also seems to have a restaurant in it called Impostable, and I gotta see what's going on there. I want to see what crazy pasta they're making.
I don't like pasta. I don't know.
Well. More fun times for me. I don't know.
Oh, boy. All right.
Don't worry. It's down the street from a pizza place, too.
Oh, good. I like pizza. All right. Let's look at some of the stuff. So the earliest adaptation of the X-Men characters I could possibly find was for the 1966 TV show The Marvel Superheroes. Now, Ario, I don't know if that name means anything to you off the bat, but if you recall, our dad was a big fan of these Marvel cartoons, and they used that term loosely, where they were like kind of almost still frames in their kind of like narration, but they had cool theme songs. Like they had, there was like Iron Man, there was Submariner, there was Thor, there was the Hulk, which is the one that we didn't hear, and then Captain America. When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield.
I definitely remember that very well. And the only part of the Iron Man one I remember is just "It's Iron Man."
I like most of those theme songs. I like Submariner, because this is like the noble Submariner, prince of the deep. So beware all you demons. Bum, 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 bum. Lord Namor of Atlantis, he's the prince of the deep. Anyway, speaking of Namor, I believe this was a Namor episode that this had happened in. So the X-Men guest star, but for some reason that I have no idea why, they are not called the X-Men. They are called the Allies for Peace.
Huh.
No idea why. This is the first time we would have ever seen them. In my memory, I feel like there were six of them instead of five, but I don't quite remember. I haven't seen that episode in at least 25 years, so I don't quite know. But there's a very good possibility that that episode is in the VHS form at our parents' house. So we might be able to track that down at some point. The next time we see the X-Men is in Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. Now, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was a weird cartoon because it was playing concurrently with a different Spider-Man cartoon made under the same company but different teams and the same voice actors. So there's Spider-Man, and there's also Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I have no idea why this is the way it was, but they just did it. So Spider-Man was just that popular in the 80s, I guess. But for those of you who might be a little young, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was a cartoon in which Spider-Man has a team that he works with to fight crime. There's Iceman, and Firestar. Two things to note about those characters is that A, both of them were X-Men characters, and this was like a weird Spider-Man and his X-Men friends. And two, that was a lie, because Firestar was invented for this cartoon, but this cartoon acted as if she was an X-Men. She had never appeared in the comic book before this. Her appearance in this cartoon led her to being brought into the comic book, because this is, you know, Harley Quinn before Harley Quinn was a thing. Like, like 10 years before Harley Quinn. And then when she does come into the comic book, she never joins the X-Men. That's a whole other thing. But she's actually more associated with the team, the New Warriors, than the X-Men. This is some trivia for you. This trivia for y'all. But the X-Men appear in three specific episodes of this. And I believe The Origin of Iceman and A Firestar is Born in 1982, which goes over the origin of those two characters and thus the X-Men appear. And then the X-Men Adventure in 1983, in which the spider friends go visit the X-Men. I saw that episode many times. It was a bad episode. I don't care for it. Also, his appearances in this cartoon is the basis for Wolverine having an Australian accent in Pride of the X-Men.
Oh, no.
Because he has an Australian accent in this cartoon, so they just kind of kept it going.
What a bummer. What a horrible legacy.
Speaking of Pride of the X-Men, that is the next time we see the characters pop up. We did a whole podcast about that, so no need to go into it now. Feel free to check that out later. Speaking of things we've already done a podcast of, thus don't need to get into it. X-Men the Animated Series was next in 1992. We did talk about season one. I do believe that we're due to talk about season two at some point in the near future.
Sure. Yeah. I feel like I've seen season one so many times, but I feel like I don't know if I just always lose steam or what, but I feel like I watch season two way less.
Well, you know what? I actually, before we did this podcast, I tried watching X-Men the Animated Series on Disney Plus when I got it, and that's exactly what happened. I watched the whole of season one, and I got about halfway through season two, and then I just lost steam and then stopped. And then throughout the 90s, the X-Men guest starred or cameoed in various episodes of Spider-Man, the Spider-Man animated series, and then the Fantastic Four cartoon that was in the 90s. Some bigger appearances than others. Not super important. The next time we see X-Men characters is actually their first live-action appearance. Kind of. It's the Generation X TV movie. Now, if there's one thing on this list that I know we're going to have to do an episode on, it is definitely this. So I don't want to talk too much about it. But the short version is that someone decided to make a live-action TV show based off of the then-current Generation X comic book, which itself was sort of like a back-to-basics type of comic that was supposed to be like a new version of the teenagers being trained by teachers to learn how to control their mutant powers type of comic book. So like the original X-Men comic and then the New Mutants comic from the 80s was also that same premise. And so this was like the next version of that. This is a thing that X-Men writers will often go to at least once per decade. This live-action TV series they're planning, they tried to have a pilot movie to get it going, and it was shit. And nobody liked it, and nobody remembers it. And Jubilee is played by a white woman.
Classic.
James Vanderbeek's ex-wife, in fact.
Oh, wow! What a random fact to know.
What a random fact.
But it does have Max Rebo, so yeah.
Max Headroom.
Oh my God! What is wrong with me today? Well, I cannot believe I went Star Wars. I guess I got Star Wars on my head.
Oh my God.
On my brain. I don't know why.
This would be such a better. It would be such a better movie if Max Rebo was the villain.
Like randomly there, just in the background playing music.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Oh my God, Max Rebo should be an X-Men.
Oh man. Oh. Lord, my brain. All right, let's keep going.
Keep going. All right, so the next time we see the X-Men is actually 4 years later, and this isn't a live action. It is the X-Men 2000 movie, which is directed by Bryan Singer, and is the beginning of the X-Men film trilogy, and then the X-Men movies in general. The X-Men movies are fucking uneven. It is the most uneven film franchise I think I can possibly think of. All these people out there complaining about Star Wars act like they've never seen a goddamn X-Men movie. Like, these movies are hot and cold. The continuity between the films are sometimes imaginary at best. It is just a goddamn chore to watch some of them. We're going to talk about some of them right now. So the first two, the X-Men, the one that came out in 2000, you know, it is the first big screen attempt of the X-Men, and it is one of the first attempts of a Marvel film on the big screen. This is a post-Blade world, but a pre-Iron Man world. So,
wait, what year was this? Was it
2000?
2000, yeah. I feel like everyone always forgets that Blade is technically a Marvel thing.
Well, that's because people are silly. Blade is the superhero movie that repaired the genre after Batman and Robin. So you just got to deal with it. But this is clearly, I mean, like this. The movie feels like it's afraid of its source material. Like, they're wearing, like, cool leather, and this is, like, not your daddy's X-Men or whatever. And it's just, it doesn't hold up as well as you think. Like,
I mean, I don't know about you listeners, but I don't think it, like, I haven't even watched it recently, and I assume it doesn't hold up, because it wasn't holding up that great at the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of interesting ideas. They don't go as far with it. This is probably, the X-Men movies in general are probably things that we might get to down the line. But the first one is fine. It kind of takes one of my favorite characters, Rogue, and just turn her into a poor man's version of Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, just so, like, I love Rogue. And yeah, it is such a bummer. And also, like, could someone please give my poor sweet Storm a personality? Like, somebody. Good freaking Lord.
It's like somebody watched the cartoon and was like, oh, that's a terrible personality. And let's do the exact opposite and have no personality.
Yeah. Gee.
There's gotta be a better medium than bombastic speech-giving Storm versus Halle Berry is trying an accent and no one knows what the fuck she's doing.
You know, I know that I've heard that there are hints and murmurs from, like, comic book people that they might take Black Panther 2 as an opportunity to maybe introduce Storm. I feel like that probably won't happen, but I wish it would.
I don't see what would be the point of that, because, like, the only connection that Storm has ever had to the Black Panther mythos is that she was married to Black Panther, and the actor who plays Black Panther died. And I don't think that's going to be a movie. Thing now. So I don't know what they would do. It seems kind of silly. Also, I would hate that because I really don't like the Black Panther Storm thing, because I think it diminishes Storm as a character way too much, and Storm should be a bigger deal than Black Panther, to be honest. Neither here nor there. Let's keep going. We're going to briefly interrupt the movie talk by talking about another X-Men property that came out in 2000, and that's X-Men Evolution. That is the 2000 cartoon that was the next one after animated series. I did not watch this cartoon all the way through. I watched the first couple episodes of the third season. Kind of don't remember. I hated this cartoon at the time. Hated it.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
It had a really weird premise. It was so the X-Men are teenagers again, which is fine. They're originally teenagers, so, you know, do what you gotta do. They weren't just living at Xavier's school for gifted youngsters, because that existed. But they go to Xavier's, and then he sends them to normal public high school. So, like, I don't understand. Like, so their parents are sending them to this really hoity-toity private school, and then the teachers at this hoity-toity private school outsource them to the local public school. And the local public school is run by Mystique. And their bullies are the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. Do their parents know they're mutants? Also, like, I don't know, the first episode they introduced, like, Nightcrawler. And Nightcrawler is such a, not a tricky character to write, but because of the way he looks and then his upbringing, he can be a pretty tragic character, and a lot of it is, like, he's just, in spite of his tragic background, he's such a good-hearted and jovial character, but still kind of worries about his appearance. In this cartoon, they give him a holographic projector immediately, and so all that angst is just washed away. Now he's just the jokey guy.
I forgot about that. Ugh, boy. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people love this cartoon, and you know what? Maybe if I tried watching it now, I might find more to like about it, but I just fucking hated it at the time. I absolutely despise this cartoon. In my opinion, the most important thing about this cartoon is the first appearance of the character X-23, the female clone of Wolverine, who was then brought over to the comic book, has since become one of the most popular and well-known X-Men characters. We're going to talk about her in a little bit. All right, back to the movies. We are now at 2003. This is X-2, X-Men United. It's a little better than X-Men in terms of story. It is loosely based off of an X-Men graphic novel from the 80s called God Loves, Man Kills, featuring a character named Reverend Stryker who tries to wipe out mutants. And the plot is very loosely taken. Reverend Stryker is turned into Colonel Stryker, who then becomes the major villain of the movies going forward for some reason, played by at least two other different actors.
Oh, right, yeah. Definitely the best movie of the three.
Yes, I guess that's probably true. Still not very, doesn't hold up super good. I remember seeing that not too long ago and being like, this movie seems like it's not super good. It also starts a precedent that continues on for almost every other X-Men movie in that no matter what the threat is in the film, the film always eventually turns into, now we have to stop Magneto. And it is gotten so cliche that I hate it. After that is X-Men The Last Stand. Now, Bryan Singer, who, by the way, has aged very badly, it is someone who we probably shouldn't talk about too much because he apparently is something of an abuser. Brett Ratner takes over for X-Men The Last Stand, and Brett Ratner kind of sucks. And you can tell, because this movie is the worst of the three films. And to talk about everything that's wrong with this movie would take up too much time. But it is a recreation of the Dark Phoenix saga done in the laziest way possible. It borrows elements from other comic books, including it has a lot of fingers in it. Like, Joss Whedon was one of the writers who was pitching stories and taking some of his elements, speaking of people who didn't age well.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, movie is very, very bad, especially if you're a Cyclops fan, which I am. Cyclops lovers against Wolverine. Speaking of Wolverine, the next time we see the X-Men is their next and, as of this recording, final animated series, and that's Wolverine and the X-Men, which is advertised as the thing I would hate the most in the world. Like, a cartoon that just leans on the idea that Wolverine's most important people and the X-Men are an afterthought. This is objectively the best X-Men cartoon. It's hypocritical, and there's focuses on Wolverine is way too much, but everything about the show, aside from that, is really good, and it sucks that it was canceled after one season. It is really, really good. But at the same time, it is a cartoon in which Cyclops, who is dealing with the death of Jean Grey, that happens in the first episode.
Oh, wow.
And has become a loner who doesn't play by the rules anymore. There's an episode where Wolverine, who has become the new leader of the X-Men because Professor X has been put in a coma, and then Cyclops has become hellbent for leather. He chastises Cyclops for running on his own and not being a team player. And then literally the next episode, Wolverine ditches the team to go have an adventure in Canada. Runs off on his own, not being a team player. And the cartoon does not seem to have any understanding of the concept of irony. Also, this is the worst Storm. The worst Storm is in this cartoon. We're going to see how this Wolverine train for a little bit, because the next thing we see, also in 2009, is X-Men Origins Wolverine. At the time, the idea was they were going to have several X-Men origin movies. Like, they were working at the time on X-Men Origins Magneto, but they ended up scrapping it. And then elements of that movie got turned into X-Men First Class. X-Men Origins Wolverine is probably the worst X-Men movie ever made.
I have never seen it.
It is very, very bad and is very stupid. Like, the writers of this don't understand the concept of continuity. They This movie can't exist in the rest of the canon of the rest of the film. There's just no way. The timeline just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Deadpool is introduced in this film in such a horrifically incorrect way that it basically ruined Ryan Reynolds' career for a little bit, and it only got healed when he tried really hard to make his own Deadpool movie where it was way more authentic.
Honestly, the most I know about this movie is that scene at the end of Deadpool where he, like, travels to, I guess, that time, that universe, and, like, shoots that Deadpool.
Yeah, he also shoots Ryan Reynolds when he's looking at the script for Green Lantern.
Good times.
I don't want to spend all day on this, but just to, like, you know, a thing that I hated about this movie is that Wolverine in the X-Men movies doesn't remember his past. And this movie explains why he doesn't remember his past. They say all through the movie that they could kill him by shooting him in the head with an adamantium bullet. But then when it comes time to do it, they say this will erase his memory.
What?
And then they do it and it erases his memory. This is a bad movie.
So wait, shooting him in the head with an adamantium bullet, which you would think would be able to penetrate his skull. All that does in the end is make him lose his memory.
Yes. That is the reason why he has amnesia in the original trilogy, because Colonel Stryker shoots him in the head with an adamantium bullet. This is a bad movie. Anywho, moving forward, X-Men First Class, which is, I believe, objectively, the best X-Men movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember really enjoying it.
Bright colors, way less afraid to link to the comic book aesthetic. Magneto has the best Magneto costume of all time, only for like 20 seconds at the very end of the film. But it's great. This whole film is very good with some bad spots. If you are a minority character, or if you're a minority film watcher, you might notice that this movie doesn't really seem to like brown people that much. And that's a bummer. But still, I think it's really good. Matthew Vaughn, who directed Kick-Ass and The Kingsman, he does this. And from what I understand, he was originally supposed to direct The Last Stand, but he couldn't do it. Brett Ratner did it, and he was so offended by how bad that movie was. He was convinced that he could make an X-Men movie that had more heart, and he was fucking right. And unfortunately, he does not come back, and the rest of the franchise suffers. He went to go do The Kingsman, and I am a little upset about it. The Wolverine, 2013, same year as X-Men First Class comes out. The Wolverine, much better. Much better.
I did see that one, funny enough.
Yeah, it is a much better film than X-Men Origins Wolverine. Fits into the timeline significantly better. This actually takes place after X-Men 3. The last act is bad. Like, it falls on its face. But until you get to that last act, it's a pretty good movie. I hate to say. But still a lot better. 2014, at this point, we are well past MCU. So Fox is like, you know, they're trying. You think they'd be like, well, we own the film rights to the X-Men and Fantastic Four. And big crossover stuff is what the big thing is, cinematic universe. Should we make our own cinematic universe with the characters that we own? No. No one wants to see that. Let's bring Bryan Singer back to make X-Men movies. And so he did. Days of Future Past in 2014. This is the big thing about this is that it takes actors playing characters from the first trilogy to interact with the actors who took over the roles in X-Men First Class. This movie is so much so not as good as the first class. It is embarrassing. I don't care for this movie. For many reasons I don't really want to get into right now because we don't have all the time in the world. But I think this movie is not nearly as good as everybody says it is. I think the best thing about it is Evan Peters being Quicksilver and like the whole sequence with him running like the whole world's in slow motion. He's just like kind of normal. I think that's a cool sequence. I think that's the best part of this film. Not a big fan of everything else. This is another movie where, as is First Class, whereas Magneto ends up becoming the villain of the film yet again. And I remember this was the film that made me be like, fuck this franchise. I hate that it happens. So it looks like I accidentally forgot to leave to put Deadpool 2 on this list. But somewhere in this time frame, the first Deadpool comes up. Deadpool 2 will come a couple years after this. Deadpool is a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really good movie that was you could just see on the screen that it was hindered by the fact that it had its budget slashed. But Ryan Reynolds coming to play Deadpool is one of the best comic to film portrayals of any character that I've ever seen. And the fact that Fox did it is crazy because they seem to be completely hating of the comic books. So do you think it's almost be an MCU film? But no, it's not. And Deadpool 2, not. Like it takes like a one step forward, two step back, two step forward type deal. Like there's like a lot of aspects of it that I thought was kind of upsetting, but there was also aspects of it that were amazing. Like the music playing when the Juggernaut shows up.
I do think I think the Deadpool stuff is just like another example of like, oh, when you have people who love the base material making the movie, it's good. I don't understand why these big movie studios find that so difficult, you know? Like, the idea of, like, get the people who, like, know the stuff and are passionate about the stuff to make the stuff. Like, I don't know why that is so strange to them.
No, I'm not sure. Not sure either. I think they don't like the idea of fans being involved in the creation because there's something... I think, like, creators of, like... these type of things kind of feel like if you're a fan of something, you're just not as like artistically valuable as somebody who is more impartial.
That is so silly because you've already decided to do a comic book movie. So like you're not doing an art house film to begin with. So like calm down about that. And like the person who is a fan knows what is valuable about the story and the things that matter and the things that will resonate with the people that you want to buy tickets. It's just dumb. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it's just like, it's just silly. Yep. But I feel like people in charge in all aspects of things are always fucking dumb and doing things the wrong way for no reason. Sometimes what they think for like saving money, which always seems to cost them more money. And it's just like, yeah, people in charge suck.
All right, let's move forward. We're getting close to the end here. Next X-Men film is X-Men Apocalypse, which is the film that I think everyone started deciding that maybe the X-Men are actually kind of bad franchise.
That was the movie that I did see, and that was the official. That's a big no for me, dog. And yep. I fell off the wagon and didn't see the Phoenix stuff.
Yep, same. But yeah, this 2016 is... distant, like it feels very hollow. Like it, I can't believe Oscar Isaac is playing Apocalypse in this. Like,
I remember being so confused, like at the time.
Hold on. Yeah. Okay. How about you bring him to me?
Okay.
He'll guest star on the podcast for a little bit.
Okay.
We got a guest star. Oh, hey.
Okay, so we have to take a little break because we got a guest star here, my baby son. Say hi, Kieran. Hi, say hi.
Hi.
He can't hear you.
Right, yeah, sure. I'll just do enthusiastic waving.
Yep. We'll see how long I can do this before I have to take him off. But yeah, X-Men Apocalypse feels hollow, feels... like I don't know, like cash grab. Not really sure that's fair, but I will say that I think it's very weird that they had to come up with a storyline reason for Professor X to be bald.
Yeah, it's weird why they had to do a big origin story about his freaking baldness.
What do you think about that, Kieran? You think that it's odd that he's bald? He doesn't have an opinion.
He will in time. He will in time.
Oh. Okay. He's got some opinions.
Perhaps apathetic.
Right. Yeah. 2017 is Logan. Logan is as close to a masterpiece as any of these movies can get. And it pains me as someone who is a Cyclops lover against Wolverine that Logan is such a gosh darn good, because my baby's here. Good film.
I'll do the fucking swears on this side. Don't worry.
All right, good. That's what I like to hear. I cried like a baby in the final shot of this movie. Like, it is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The only negative I have about this movie is that I think that they were trying to be an R-rated film for the sake of being an R-rated film. Like, there's a lot of, like, I don't need to see Professor X drop F-bombs. I don't need.
Yeah, that doesn't feel right.
It's not necessary. But they did anyway. Oh, Kieran, what's your opinion about F-bombs being dropped over here? You got something? You got? No. Okay. You just want to. Oh, okay. Well, that's. I don't know if we can. I might have to edit that out. That's a little racy. This is also the only live action adaptation or featuring X-23, who I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for a sequel to this starring her. She was really good, and she's still acting.
So. Yeah, I mean, considering all the His Dark Material stuff, she's obviously, you know, people like her. I definitely, I came into that movie. I saw it, like, streaming or something, I think. And so, like, I came in going, like, I know this is about prepare to cry. And I still was very devastated. He's the best buff baby.
All right, so here's the thing. Next movie is Dark Phoenix in 2019. I didn't watch it.
Yup. I heard
it was awful.
Yeah, it's kind of like I was in very much like fool me once mode. I mean, it's 2019, so I wasn't in the whole I'm picking and choosing what to waste my time on kind of thing like I am now. Like something, you know, I'm not quick to watch just any movie in the theaters considering our times. But I just knew, like, I'm tired of people trying to do Dark Phoenix. I don't know. They can't do it. I don't know why exactly. I guess Dark Phoenix itself, all the Phoenix stuff is a lot to begin with, I suppose.
Yeah, like the entire Phoenix stuff is, first of all, not even one story. It is multiple years of Jean Grey just being Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then, like, a long plot about the Phoenix being corrupted. Kind of hard to squeeze all that into a movie.
Yeah. And I couldn't be arsed. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think that you can't do the Phoenix, but these guys have not been able to do any X-Men really right.
That's fair.
I mean, like, okay, let me put it this way. When I say Logan was amazing, Hugh Jackman is great playing the character named Wolverine in these films, but he's so different from Wolverine in the comic. If for no other reason, he's too tall and handsome. What a tall and handsome man he is. You need someone short and kind of gruff looking.
Unless we're about to get into a dance number, which I'm not opposed to, Hugh Jackman. That I don't know. I just don't know.
Karen, what do you think about Hugh Jackman? Do you think that he's too tall to play Wolverine? Or do you think that if maybe they should just have Wolverine sing more?
Yeah, he's a song and dance man.
Oh, he's waving at you.
Hey.
It's Auntie Ari. She says hi. All right. The last movie is The New Mutants, which I also didn't see.
Here's the thing. I watched like a half an hour into it, and I never finished it. I can't remember if I had something interrupt me or what, but yeah, it's just like, it's on my I don't know. It's probably off of HBO Max by now, but it was just sitting there for the longest time.
It's probably on Hulu now, though. So with Dark Phoenix and the New Mutants, like, I've had every opportunity to watch these movies at this point. They're both streaming on things I have access to. And I just haven't. Now, a New Mutants is more tragic because New Mutants was the victim of the Fox purchase by Disney.
Sure.
Hey, Kieran, how about you explain to people what happened there? Okay, well, as Kieran said, Disney bought Fox, and they ended up deciding not to invest in the reshoots that the movie was supposed to have. So the movie, even though they delayed it for years, but even though they finally released it, it still seems like an unfinished movie because they didn't actually finish it. They didn't actually finish the reshoots. And supposedly, because the trailers for this movie looked great, but apparently they were going to do some... What's that? Yeah. You want to share with the rest of the class? He is saying that the best Wu-Tang Clan album is Liquid Swords. since Disney didn't put the check up to do it, I just feel like the movie is just not done. They wanted to make it more in line with the trailers, but it looks great. The trailers looked amazing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like it has a lot of star power. Like, this is like Anna Taylor-Joy before Anna Taylor-Joy mattered.
Yeah.
This is like after The Witch, but this is like before she was everywhere.
And then, like, people were excited because, like, Maisie Williams was in a new thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but they delayed it so much that Anna Taylor-Joy had become a star, and Maisie Williams was so far past Game of Thrones that the buzz was lower.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Also, the guy from Stranger Things, but I don't care about him.
Yes, I care very little about that guy, that 40-year-old high schooler.
Yeah. Okay. So as of this recording, there's not any X-Men like proper adaptations that have happened. So I'm going to not spoil any spoilers like for things that may still be in theaters right now. But
thank you.
The last big thing was that they brought Evan Peters back as Quicksilver in WandaVision, and that turned out to be a red herring. I got.
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation on that.
Uh-oh. Kieran, what's your opinion on Evan Peters showing up as Quicksilver? He says, so, yeah.
Same. Yeah.
But yeah, haven't seen too, like, who knows what the future's going to hold. There's going to be a new cartoon coming out next year called X-Men 97. It is direct sequel to the X-Men the Animated Series.
Yeah.
There has not been any X-Men properties announced for the MCU. Fantastic Four has been announced, but not any X-Men stuff. Mm. But without going into spoilers, it's just a matter of time.
I mean, you know, we'll finish out Phase Wong in the MCU. Phase Wong,
yep.
And we'll see where we're at, you know?
We ain't never leaving Phase Wong. Wong is the new main character of the MCU, and we all just have to deal with it now.
So amazing.
but yeah, that's kind of all I have to say right now, especially since I got an angry baby in my lap.
All right, so we're going to hit the old dusty trail because we're all basically X-Men'd out, but you can contact us. You can email us at adultsiblingsversus@gmail.com, and you can find us on Facebook. We have our Adult Siblings Versus Facebook page. You can contact us there. The theme song today was Cyclops is Right from Zombie Apocalypse Now. From the EP, Hope You Survive the Experience. And yeah, that's it for now. We're thinking that we might do Little Rascals next time if it remains available. But right now we're dealing with our little rascal. So we gotta get out of here and hope that he doesn't develop a banshee-like power when he turns into a teenager.
I mean, he already has the banshee-like power now. He just can't... He just can't fly.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get so strong that he learns to manipulate that bad boy and just fly out a window, destroying things with his voice.
We'll leave you until next time for Little Rascals, but as always, please do not put a dirty sock in your sibling's mouth.
Yeah.
You got anything to add there, baby? Shave and a haircut. Shave and a haircut. We practiced this. It didn't work.
Aww. Perfect. I mean, that's how we know he's not a cartoon, secretly. Because he doesn't fall for the two bits.